All right, so welcome to Jazz Clinic Session 6. We're doing tension and release, and we simply have read through the sheet. So before you continue on this, please do so. We at least read up to, halfway through, and then I'll mute it when we read the remaining half as well. So, and then we are doing A-Train as our tune of the day, and we're just getting into it right now. So the idea is we're going to try and do some what's written in the box of the second page, or is it the third? Yeah, the third page of the presentation. In the box, it says statement, development of theme, climax, and release. But before we get to that, there's probably some harmonic questions about how to solo on this. What key is it in?
Well, it looks like C.
It's C, yeah. And then, you know, can you use just C major 7 over the entire thing?
Yeah.
You probably could. What happens when you get to D7? Is that a non-diatonic chord there?
It's D7. Did you say D7?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Somebody give me a quick harmonic analysis of the A section of this.
So it's 1.
1.
It's a minor 2. So
right next to C, that's 1. What kind of 2?
A minor 2? Or are we talking, that D7 is not a minor 7.
Right.
It's a... So,
it's what kind of chord? The five chords: minor, major, dominant. Major, dominant, minor,
dominant,
half diminished,
seven.
Diminished. What?
Half
diminished.
Oh.
You think it's half diminished? It's actually dominant. It's dominant.
Oh, is it not a minor? Seven?
And the reason it's not a minor seven is because it doesn't say minor third. It doesn't have a minor third. It has a regular third. And that's a big difference. It's a dominant chord. Right? I don't know who said it, but...
Well, I did, but I didn't know really what I was right.
All right. So we're going to talk about that. So the way to analyze that, you'd have to put a 2X. We talked about the John Mahegan way of doing it in the clinic, or was that in a separate session?
Doesn't ring a bell.
In the analyzing tunes... I think in the analyzing tunes article or summary you got, it had like shorthand in some of the examples. John Mahegan was the first guy to apply the classical nomenclature of analyzing harmony to jazz. And he came up with, you know, the triangle means major, X means dominant, minus means minor, the circle with a line through it means half diminished, and the circle by itself means diminished.
Yeah,
so X isn't really used that much anymore, but anyone who uses an X like I do, you can immediately spot that they're from the John Mahegan school. All right? So 2X. All right?
So that's not the same as a 2-chord, you're saying?
You would have to write 2-7 otherwise. Because a 2-chord is normally minor. And that's something you should memorize, like major, minor, minor, major, major, minor,
diminished, major, something diminished up there.
Yeah, diminished and then, all right. Anyway, so we got 1, 2 dominant. What about the next line?
That's a 2.
Minor, so. 2.
Can I get a copy?
Don't have
one.
And then it's just a 2-5-1, right? The second line.
So.
If you didn't recognize that by now, I'm not going to criticize, but you have some homework to do. Right? And then what about the bridge? Or, before we analyze the second ending itself, remember what I said, harmony is always meant to be analyzed in context. So where does the bridge go? Like when you get to the bridge, which is third line of the tune, what Roman numeral is that?
F.
It's the fifth.
Someone says fifth.
Does that say minor?
So
or major?
Just play a C major scale and see what note F is. Sure, that's an F.
It's four.
That's not an F.
There you go. So it's 4. She's right. So well done. It's a 4.
Well, I mean, G was a 5, so it
there you go.
Be a 4. But
there you go.
Does that say major?
You
can
do
say?
It like that.
Well, it's just a little squiggle.
That's major.
Okay. Is G the G minor, the C7, the F major? Isn't that a 2-5-1 of F?
Thank you. Did everybody hear that?
No, say it again.
Brilliant. So you've changed keys for the bridge, which is typical, right? Or the key
we'll talk about whether it's a key change or not, but I would just put a Roman numeral 4 there. Next to the F. But what he said was, can you repeat the second ending?
Yeah, the G minor and C major are the 2-5 of the F. So if F was the one, it's a 2-5-1.
And so how to analyze that? Instead of, there's two ways to analyze that. The easiest way is you do a 2-5, a 2-4 and a 5-4. In music school, they would literally write 2/4, 5/4, and then 4, right? I personally know that a five minor and one dominant is the same thing. So you could just analyze it as V minus and a 1x there. Whatever's easiest for you. Does that make sense? So again, I'm going to repeat. First way is G minor is the 2-4, C7 is the 5-4, and F is the 4. Everybody with me so far? Sort of. Second way to do it, you just do it according to the key of C. So G minor is a 5 minor, C7 is a 1 dominant or a 1x, and either way F is 4. After you see it enough times, you just know that a 5 minor and a 1 dominant is 2-5 going on 4.
So the G minor 7 is a 2-5?
Yeah, 2-5-1. The whole thing's a 2-5-1.
No, but it's you called it a 2/
of 4.
F being the 4. It's the 2.
And you pretend F is the 1, and then G is the 2.
C is the 5 of the 4.
1, which is the 4.
Yes. Now, let me address the question of whether it's a key change. If it was a key change, then I would have written right under that second ending, new key equals, or 4 equals new key, new 1. That's how I would write it in Roman numerals. Roman numeral 4 equals new 1, and then I'd analyze it just as a 2-5-1. I wouldn't say anything about 4 anymore, because now we're in the key of F. How do you know whether it changes keys or not? Well, there's nothing else really going on except lingering on the 4 chord, which is not really a key change. There's nothing to suggest that you have to play like the B has to become flat or anything. You could still play a C major scale. Somebody play a C major scale over that chord. Doug, you're not writing, and you're so a C major, and it fits. Now play an F major scale. They both sound fine depending on how you use it. But there's no real case, none of the B's in the melody. There aren't even any B's in the melody in that section.
Yes, yeah, so there's nothing non-diatonic to
correct.
F scale.
Correct. So the I'm glad you said it, because the path of least resistance says it's easier just to call it a 4 chord than a key change. That's a good way to do it. That's how I analyze harmony, the path of least resistance. So
sometimes the chords following determine whether or not you consider that. So if you had C diatonic chords following F, you might consider, okay, that is a key change.
Yeah, if I had F and D minor and G minor and C7, like it's 1-6-2-5 there, that's the key of F. Because that G minor is out the key of C.
That messes up your C.
Right, there you go. All right, then the next chord, D7, we saw that already. That's a 2 dominant, isn't it? And then you got a 2-5 in your back. The chorus sounds so good on that. It sounds like a keyboard.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if you're digging it, but we'll leave it if you're...
No, it's fine.
That must have been...
So now you know why this tune is so popular. It's pretty easy and fun, but we didn't talk about how to solo on the D7 flat 5. There's several ways to do it. One is just play C and screw it, right? You're thinking horizontally. The next way you haven't really learned, I don't want this to turn into a huge topic on the whole note scale, but I'm gonna at least introduce it. It's... You should know at least what it is, even if you can't do it. Right? So it's a 6-note scale separated by nothing but whole steps. You got D, E, F sharp, and a whole step back at D. So everyone do like any position you want. D, E, F sharp. And then up another whole step. Up another whole step. And up another whole step, and then you're back in. And then backwards. Pretty cool that you could sing that. I think, I don't even know if I could sing the whole note scale. Well done.
I've only listened to
but I can't. If you woke me up in the middle of the night, I'd be like, go away. In the Magic Garden, when Carol and Paula are doing whatever they were doing, they would play a whole tone thing. I don't know. I don't even know why I know that.
The Magic Garden, what's that?
The Magic Garden, man.
That came on after Cool Fran and Ollie, right?
Yeah, I guess so. At least someone knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, she always had her acoustic guitar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that show vaguely.
Yeah, the magic sound, right? Yeah. Right, okay, good.
Oh, I had a giant crush on those ladies.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Or it's also like sometimes they use it for like a dream sequence or let's look into the past.
In on the bass and on the guitar, wherever you start, like suppose you start at E or F sharp on the second fret. Because you got lots of room to work your way up. Watch this, you got on one string. And then you go diagonal to C. And then you do another three. Right? And that pattern continues except for the B string string. So we're not going to make a huge thing out of it, but watch this, you ready? F sharp plus two, C plus two, F sharp plus two, C plus two. Then I got to go up and it's not diagonal anymore because I got a B string string, but there's an F sharp and then C. So you could just target two notes. Right? So it's an easy fingering, especially on bass, it's all symmetrical. You don't have the B string string. Try it on F sharp. Why did I choose F sharp? Because I wanted to build upwards. And that's in our D whole tone scale. So we do three notes on one string, separated by a whole step. Everybody do it. And you can sing.
Oh, I'm going to the next string. Na,
na, na, na. Three on each string.
So down. Yeah, down. There you go. And then. And then down. Again. Got it?
Yeah, it's not that fast though.
But you know how to do it.
Yeah. Oops.
There you go, good. Bass players have it easy because it's all symmetrical. No B stink string. Now I'm not suggesting you have to use that or that you should start using that exclusively in this song, but it does fit perfectly. Let me hear a comp, please. Anyone? Like of the first two chords, like okay, Mitch, one, two, like one, two, three, just me and Mitch. Right, fits perfectly over it. All right, another thing to do is a D7 scale where you raise the fourth. And this is, again, beyond the scope of this. It's one of the modes of the melodic minor. You can take a thing home on it. When I've taught the clinic in the past, we did a session on the melodic minor, which is way beyond the scope, but I'm going to just say it for, so at least you heard of it, right? A melodic minor is a major scale with a minor third, right? In the key of A, it would be... Everybody try it. You're gonna do it, and I'll tell you why I picked A in a minute. So you do an A major scale, flatting the third. Good, good, Louise. That's not an easy scale to sing. Yeah, Mitch has got it. Good, Melanie. There you go, good. That's called an A melodic minor. Why am I showing you this now? Because it has many juicy modes. Remember you did Doug has done the major scale modes.
We did all seven.
You did all seven of the major scale. But the melodic minor scale has some juicy modes. Even just changing one note like we just did, it sends us into a completely different harmonic territory, and a lot of those modes are extremely juicy and handy in jazz. and we're not going to go into it now, but this happens to be one of them. If you played that same scale over my D7 flat 5, it'll sound right, or at least you tell me if it sounds right. Do the exact same thing you just did, A major with a flat 3rd. Pretty handy, right?
That's good.
So it's beyond the scope of this course, but at least you would have heard of, by the end of the course, at least you'll have heard of and been introduced to whole tone and melodic minor a little. And if you want to take the sheet home, I can give you that too. But I wouldn't recommend studying it at this point.
So if I may reiterate, a melodic minor scale is a major scale with a flatted third.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. And there's many uses of it. And we'll talk more about it.
It just sounds pretty cool.
It's a way cool, handy thing for jazz, for sure. So those are some ideas on it. And you know what? If you don't flat the fifth, or if you don't sharp the 4, in this case, like... For those of you who know what a D7 scale and D Mixolydian scale is, what we just did is the same as that with a sharp 4. Flat 7, yeah. So, but if you can't think of all that and you just do D Mixolydian, no one's gonna really stop you and yell at you. The melodic minor
grab you by the throat and go, "That's the Mixolydian. What are you doing?"
That's right. The melodic minor police, they tend to be a bit lax. That's right. The melodic minor police. So is that enough ammunition? But the rest of the tune is just in C. So how about, without further ado, we play it. And we're not going to do the statement and development of theme and climax and release yet, but that's what's coming. So let's go around with solos. Play anything you want. We always start with these guys since they're sitting near me. How about we start with Melanie?